Welcome to the Goracom podcast, where investors discover great small cap companies. Thank you for taking a Goracom with you, and make sure to follow our podcast.
Welcome to Beyond the Press Release, a production of Goracom, in which we take the time to speak with small cap executives after they put out important news. If you're an investor who believes in and understands the massive shift from traditional marketing to digital marketing, and you should, because over 50% of TV advertising has now switched to digital advertising, then you're going to love this interview with Kiddos, because they own the leading compliant contextual mobile advertising network for children, where they've got almost 5,000 apps around the world using Kiddos to reach about 400 million kids. And more than that, they're working with great brands, including Disney, McDonald's, Hasbro, Lego, and a trusted partner of Apple and Google, which is critical considering the kind of gatekeepers they are and how they can make go, no-go decisions. As a result, they've grown revenues from 2017 at $1.9 million, 2022, $15 million in revenue, and they just keep growing because Q3, $2.8 million U.S. That's what we're going to talk about. Network, just so you know how big these guys are, some network highlights. In 2022, they did 2.1 billion paid impressions. That comes from about 1.1 billion video views, and about 650 million rich media ads. Why is that? Because I said at the beginning of this, kids are abandoning TV. TV has lost about 50% of its audience because kids now on laptops and iPads and phones and all of that. So as a result, not only is the shift taking place right now, but it's going to keep growing, because by 2031, it's expected to grow by 22% a year, compound annual growth rate. That's massive. Kiddos is perfectly positioned. Jason, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, George. Great to be here.
So $2.8 million US, by the way, revenues for Q3. Given what's going on in the small cap world right now, almost every small cap would die for that number. But you guys are down a bit year over year.
We are.
Let's talk about that. But it's not unique to you, because I also did my research where Warner Brothers, Discovery, Paramount all reported enough softness in their ad business that it actually raised alarms with their investors. So you're kind of in good company there. What happened in Q3, despite the fact that you put up a really big number?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so what's happening out there in the market is there is some softness, but actually, you know, while 2.8 wasn't our target when starting the year for Q3, we would have liked that to be higher. We had a lot of good deals. There was some good momentum. And really what's happening in 2023 for Kiddos is we've shifted our US sales strategy. And instead of relying completely on resellers in the US market, we've hired our own sales team, and I've taken on more myself for those conversations with brands and agencies, because really the future of the company depends on Kiddos having that direct conversation and really being able to talk about our own capabilities. And we're quite confident that we're going to see some really impressive results heading into 24 from that change that we made. It's quite a difficult change. It takes some time to really educate the market and build some relationships to go direct, but that's happening. And I'm quite confident that, you know, we're going to see some great growth.
All right. So it's fair to say then that you just had that little transition phase where George, the reseller, is no longer really as big a part of your strategy. Jason, the team going direct, but that takes time to build up. So how are those, devil's advocate, how are those direct sales attempts going? Because one thing I know, it's, even though you got great relationships with some big brands, it's very difficult to get in to see Microsoft, Kellogg's, Apple, whoever you desire, because everyone in the world wants them. Devil's advocate, is that, you think that's going to work out?
It is tricky, but we were fortunate that we brought in some great people who, you know, had some great relationships. And so, you know, things don't happen overnight. In media, things take time. There's a planning process, and there's a lot of trust and capabilities that need to be displayed. But the great thing about Kiddos is we own the technology. So like, while perhaps we weren't working directly with some of these brands before, there was a layer in between. One of their key responsibilities as an agency is what's called supply path optimization. And so they should be spending the brand's money, and it should be reaching the ultimate media owners as quickly as possible. And so when there are extra layers in between, it creates inefficiencies. So while there is a shift that's happening here, the shift benefits the brand, it benefits the agency, and the media owners themselves, which is Kiddos, because we own the technology and we're the direct supply path, will benefit as well. And so do the ultimate, the apps that we work with, who will get a higher revenue share. So really everybody benefits in with as a result of this change. It just takes some time. And also because, you know, there's a short-term negative for Kiddos, because when we relieve a reseller, all of that revenue needs to be replaced. And so it's, you know, you can't just turn it on one for one the next day. So it takes time to have that conversation and build it back up. And we've replaced a lot of it, but, and in 2024, we believe that we're going to well exceed what, you know, what they were bringing us previously, which was the reason to change.
And I give you credit for making that change, because it's not an easy change to make, right?
No, like, it was
tricky. I got George, the reseller here, and I've been comfortable and they get it done. So firing George and replacing you guys going direct, that takes some courage. But that courage comes from, Jason, the confidence you have that once you get these direct relationships, you said something earlier that's so important that I want to focus on. You own the technology. So when you go direct to the big brands, you finally get in the door and you show them that you own the technology, and that makes all the difference. So short-term pain, long-term gain.
Exactly. I mean, and certainly myself and the senior management and the board, we had these conversations. We knew there was risk going in, but, you know, we also knew that 2022 was an excellent year, and we want to put the company on the strongest footing to grow for another 10 or 20 years. Like, our goal is to get, you know, to 100 million in top line over the next few years. And that's not possible when you're under the thumb of resellers, because you cannot really flex your capabilities and earn big slices of budgets if you're not in the direct conversation. And so we needed to be in the direct conversation, and we believe that we'll be well back on our path for big growth in 2024.
You also mentioned the press release that you had some campaigns, in the press release you say rescheduled. I guess that means deferred. So AgoraCom widgets, you was planning, was already had a campaign with you for X amount of dollars, and they call you up, say, hey, Jason, let's push that back a little bit. So does that mean you got a little tailwind, some nice tailwind set up for 2024? Because you've got some deals that are going to happen.
We know some things were pushed already into H1 next year, some even in Q1 that we weren't starting with in 2023. And so we already know that there's going to be a nice little bump in 2024 to start the year. And, you know, we're confident that we'll do well on those campaigns, which is almost always true for the media that we deliver. And then that results in rebookings as brands have continued confidence and increased bookings, because it's a direct conversation in the US now. And, you know, what I can say is that brands and agencies are really impressed with how we built the media, how it's the only end-to-end COPPA safe media system that allows them to reach the entire app universe. It's the only one in existence.
Wow.
And it's very special. And, you know, I think what I'm very proud of is that even though, you know, 2023 has been challenging because the numbers aren't growing like they have for us over the last several years, but internally, the morale of the team and the retention of the team, which is 100%, is fantastic. You know, everyone is very, very proud of what we're doing. Collaboration is super high between different departments. And everyone's excited about the mission that we're on. And, you know, it's just a great bunch of people to work with. And they know that we built some incredible stuff and that we deliver great results and that the future looks really bright and everybody's hanging on for good times because they enjoy their work.
Well, and I admire your shift and your attitude, because look, I follow companies like Disney closely, you know, and they're going through an unbelievable foundational change there. And that's because the advertising market is changing. This isn't something that's unique to you guys.
Sure.
And I can tell you something, Disney's having a hell of a bigger problem than kiddos at the end of the day. So you've got, you know, the fact that you're making the changes and you know which way to go and that you're unfazed by it is great. So 2024, how does the general macro market look like for 2024? I'm talking is because I've seen some different reports where, you know, traditional advertising, you know, traditional digital advertising should grow about 5%, which is what did this year. But just a little less, I think, than I think 5 versus 6%. But political advertising is going to go through the roof. And you've got Prado. That's my segue here. Your Prado product. Yep. Kiddos obviously meant for kids. Prado's for teens and parents.
Yeah.
So do you think that Prado, who has had some nice move in 2023, might benefit from that massive amount of political advertising in 2024?
I think that we will benefit some. I think if we look at the two different divisions, so we look at kiddos first. I mean, I think kiddos is going to be a big winner in 2024 because of the shifts that we've made, and also because our competition has faltered. And so really the strength of our system and the capabilities of our system are starting to really pull their head above the water, whereas we've kind of been hidden by the resellers because it benefited them to not talk about us so much. And so now kiddos is really going to really outperform in 2024. So that is super exciting. With Prado, again, we've had lots of great smaller deals in Europe, and we're starting some good conversations in the US, and we've got some interesting pitches that are out, and we continue to develop the capabilities of Prado because there are extra layers of complexity when you're using data targeting. When Prado relies on more programmatic systems, which are tricky, but we know the capabilities are there. And also, the thing about Prado is that it competes more directly with TikTok and Instagram. So like kiddos is a bit more wide open. The main big competitor, the main competing channel is YouTube, because kids aren't on Instagram or TikTok. And so brands don't look so much to reach them on those platforms. And so it becomes YouTube and apps, and YouTube is YouTube, amazing, great product, but, you know, perhaps overspent in some ways, whereas apps are underspent. When you get into Prado, then there's more choice for those marketers. And so Prado is a longer sales kind of cycle because we not only have to prove the capabilities, but we have to prove that it's a wiser decision than just putting more money on Instagram and TikTok, which are shiny cars and marketers understand and they like them, even though the brand spend is perhaps too high at this point for the amount of audience. We have a great chart where we show comparable audience sizes, and actually the audience size on mobile games is comparable to Instagram, but the brand spend is something like 12%. Like, it's small. So there's 10x opportunity in mobile games for comparable size audience once the brands start to recognize and move budget across. And there's other great advantages too. Like, it's more of an interactive medium because people are touching the screen. And so you can do some really great things with rich media, which you can't do on Instagram or TikTok. And so there are a long list of great advantages. It's just taking time for that shift to occur. But we know the shift will come. Shift always comes. Marketers always follow eyeballs. I've even had conversations with the IAB, which is the governing body around digital media. And they published a report about why brand spend was low in mobile games. And one of their main conclusions is that there are kind of overhanging misconceptions about the audience being, you know, teenage boys in their basements. But actually, the audience playing mobile games is everyone now. Everyone's playing.
I was in Greece this summer. Sorry to interrupt you, Jason. I was in Greece this summer, and I can't tell you how many old guys like me,
you
know, shopkeepers, as I was walking the streets, window shopping, and it's the end of the day, it's not busy. And I look over their shoulder, and I'm wondering, these guys, and I look over their shoulder, and they're playing games on their phone. Yeah. These are guys my age, and I'm talking a lot of them, not one or two guys.
Totally. The smallest demographic, and I have another one on this, is baby boomers. And baby boomers are playing 13 hours a week. and that's the smallest figure. And so like the numbers are really big. And so it's just a matter of time. And we've got Kiddos, which is incredible. And Prado has so much potential. The budgets are huge when you get into them. And so we're having some interesting conversations, but it takes longer, and that's okay.
Sooner or later, no matter what, if not all the money can go into Instagram and TikTok, because right. The more money goes in, it drives up cost.
Yes.
For Agoracom, it's like, man, I'm spending a lot more money on Instagram than 2 years ago. Right. I better look for alternatives.
Exactly.
And then suddenly mobile games opens up and Prado comes in the door.
Exactly. And there are some great media leaders. Yeah, there are some great media leaders who say that exact thing. They're like, don't get comfortable with what you're doing today and yesterday, because tomorrow it's going to be burned out. It's going to be oversaturated. You got to start testing.
Always does.
Yeah. And that's, obviously the growth of Instagram and TikTok has helped the saturation to not reach a boiling point, because it's expanded so much. So the inventory grew, but there's a point where everybody's, already on it and too many brands. And so then the prices rise, and that's when the shift will occur. And I believe we're pretty much there. I can argue that we're there. And so we'll see how 2024 goes. But I think there's a lot of interesting things that we'll be doing. So one thing I love to say is that when I'm in these conversations, I say, I talk about how we built the technology. We own the technology. We own a mobile network that runs billions of video and rich media opportunities. And then they're like, oh, that's interesting. And I'm like, well, actually, but then we realize that what's really interesting to brands is if there's a creative layer, and we come from a mobile games background. So we built on top of this, in addition to a mobile games creative unit, which builds special products to then run on the network. So we have the technology, we have a creative studio, and we can point that we work with great brands. And so those three things start to, open those doors, and that's where we're at today.
Yeah, you're able to help ABC Widgets gamify their message
exactly
on a mobile app for teens or adults, rather than just ABC Widgets, buy my widgets, and it's just a straight old boring banner ad or something like that. You're able to gamify. That's huge. The reason I bring that up is that's huge value, because 98% of the companies don't have that capability.
Exactly. Yeah. No. And the studio is doing some great things, and it's we're learning more too. Like you learn so much when you're now in these open conversations with the brands and the agencies about what's interesting to them, what's not interesting. And then we can reflect that in our future pitches. And we're doing that more and more right now.
Last question. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, because AI is everywhere. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Artificial intelligence everywhere. Yeah. Agoracom is incorporating a ton of it into our content production.
Yeah.
How is AI, if in any way, impacting your business, whether it's content production, whether it's how you serve ads, how's AI impacting you guys in a positive way?
The main way that it affects ad tech at this point is by using intelligence to map media to the right place. So you can optimize the money that the system's making. You can optimize the performance of the media. Eventually there'll be opportunities to use AI creative tools for iterating on some of the creative aspects that are running on like the banners themselves. Like instead of making 10 options with a person and putting out 10 and then optimizing on those 10, we can have a computer make 1,000 and continue to constantly change the color and the message within. Yeah. And then the system can optimize towards that. And so that's within our reach. It's not too far out, and those will definitely move the needle for advertisers and will be very cool systems. And because we own the system, we can just marry it right on to what we're doing already, and it will open a lot of doors.
Jason, congratulations on, I know you guys are calling a bit of a down quarter, but when you deliver $2.8 million US in revenue for just a quarter, not a year, a quarter, I think congratulations are still in order. And you're right. 2022 was a huge up year. So it's kind of difficult sometimes to comp against a big up year. I've seen this happen with big companies before too, where they say, man, we had such a big year that even though we had a good year this year, the comp doesn't look the same. But no, congratulations on that. You guys doing amazing things. I can't wait to hear more about how your direct sales is going to pan out.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. Really excited. We've got a lot of great stuff. Can't wait for that. And thank you. No, I'm really excited. Appreciate it. And great to see you. Thanks for the chat.
For everybody at home, you've been watching or you've been listening by podcast on Spotify, Google, or favorite podcast platform to Jason Williams, CEO of Kiddos, Trades in Canada, KIDZ. Gotta love that stock symbol. You've heard the revenue numbers, you've heard the growth model, and you know the paradigm shift taking place in advertising from traditional, old, boring, analog into digital. Kiddos is there. They're way ahead of the curve. Do due diligence. Hopefully today you discover your next amazing small cap company. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. See you next time.
Hey guys, this podcast is over. But don't forget to help your company by liking it or even leaving a comment. And then don't forget to help yourself by following us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or on your favorite podcast platform so you will never miss another one great Agora Gomez Small Cap podcast.